Oh, that's right. We're right back here. It's 4:07 in the afternoon. I'm here, and today here with me is Jimmy Burton. He is the Executive Director of Burton Center Board for Disabilities and Special Needs. I tell you what, I was out there this afternoon, Jimmy, and I tell you what, it is exhilarating to go out to the Burton Center.
Well, thank you, Ann. It's always good to speak with you, and we sure are proud of what we have going on out there. It's a lot of people don't understand a lot of the things we do, and we try to ask people to come visit us so we can see some of the things we do. But it is exciting. There's a lot of activities going on, and it was a good day to visit.
It was. We saw. I got to see them working in the back. I mean, Fuji, I understand, they disassemble all the cameras for the whole country.
North America. Every camera and every 35mm one-shot camera is recycled through Burton Center here in Greenwood.
You know, that is phenomenal. And I saw bins that said 3,500 cameras, 3,500 cameras. I was given a demonstration on the art of ripping this apart, and it was just, it's phenomenal. Then went over and talked to a couple of the gals that were rolling the tape for the for Velux, for the skylights and everything, and they were just doing such a nice job and making sure it was perfect. I said, I didn't know if I could do it, and they told me, oh, anybody can do this. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if I could stand there and do that. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, we are so blessed that we have good partnerships here in Greenwood. Velux, Fuji, Capsule Gel, they're just very good partners, and they're doing a remarkable and wonderful thing for giving us contract work that gives jobs to people with disabilities and special needs. They're so proud of their work. I worked in industry for 30 plus years, and I would have given anything to have workers like the people that we have working in our workshops. They love their jobs. They're dedicated to it. They want to make sure they do it right, and they want to do as much of it as they can because they can make some money.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were just having a good time. I think most everybody had finished their work for today, so there was a lot of visiting and kibitzing going on out back there, but it was tremendous. Over in one corner, they were doing exercises. You have a lady that volunteers and comes in, and they were dancing and doing some exercising and everything. Then there was the senior room where the seniors who had retired were hanging out and having a good time. So, and then there was another room. I had never seen this one before, where it's called the sensory room.
That's right.
And they were getting ready to read a story, and it was very, very cozy and very nice in there.
Yeah, that was done by partnerships, by people. We live in a community that I feel really goes the extra mile to help people.
Right.
We've got so many people that offer help and give service, do things for us. That was done through the Pilot Club, which is the Ladies Lions Club, and then the Self Foundation. They helped donate that. Lander painted the walls. So it was a partnership with several groups that when we ask for help, they always step up the plate and help us. But that's a room that if you've got somebody that's having a bad day, it's a nice place to quieten down and relax and do it. I try to reserve it for me for about 3:30 in the afternoon, but they won't let me do it.
I think that's called a nap, isn't it,
<That's>
Jimmy?
Right.
Exactly, because the lights are low in there, just in case if you're wondering. It would be a great place to take a nap. In fact, I asked, they were getting ready to read a story. I asked what they were getting ready to read. It was a Christmas story. I said, hey, you know, it'll be here before you know it.
That's right. And they're interested in it. It's something that holds their attention. So.
You know, I think it is tremendous, and I know your dad worked tirelessly to bring this program, and I know now, how long have you been in the front here, been the executive director?
Around about 6 years now. I've been the director for about 6 years. I've been with the agency for 10 years, 11 years now. So,
what do you think your dad would think today?
I think he would be very pleased with the progress that we made. I always said that I could never fill my daddy's shoes. The one thing I set my goal and my mission was to at least keep this agency moving forward and make positive things happen. And I feel real good about that. I think we've done a lot of things. The facility that we're in now is tremendous. The campus that we have with the partnership with Lander, Miracle Leagues, there are so many things going on that we're just very, very proud of. And I think that we are trying to make it tomorrow better than yesterday.
Sure.
That's what we're trying to do. But I could never fill my dad's shoes. I mean, he was a visionary. He was someone that had a purpose. My sister also had a lot to do with his purpose. I always told my dad, I said, you take way too much credit. Debbie needs some of this credit.
Well, you know, the thing about Debbie, she was always part of your family.
Always.
Always. And, you know, that has changed so much from the way it was years and years ago. I mean, I know we've talked about this in the past. I had a brother. He was institutionalized. Sure. He actually had Down syndrome. Brother, I didn't even know I had until actually my father died and left some money to this brother that I didn't know that I had.
Yeah, that's an interesting story.
It is. But the thing about it is now we look at Down syndrome children and this type of thing, and it is moving forward, and they're able to do so much more.
The national trend is to include people with disabilities and special needs into community environments. I would like to say we're ahead of that curve.
Sure.
My dad and several other people, it was very important that they were able to live in a house that was in a neighborhood that I would live in or that you would live in, that they go to movies, that they go to the grocery store, they have
their own money.
They have their own money. You know, they have the same opportunities that you and I have. They just need a little help.
Sure.
And that's what we're there for. We're there to help them and to make sure that they do that. But the national trend is really going to community environments, to work environments that is inclusive into jobs like you and I may have. I stay away from the word normal because I don't know what normal is. And I know
what your dad used to say. It was a setting on the dryer, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what Felton used to say.
I don't know what normal is. But, you know, to make their life as meaningful and do it. If you would walk through our facility on payday, you just can't imagine the smiles and the hugs and look what I got. And they want to show you what they made that for the last couple of weeks. And so it's always exciting to do that. And
I know your father told me stories about, you know, when he first started paying them and setting this up and everything, and it was so great. And then one time they handed out a bonus. Mm-hmm. It was a one-time bonus thing and everything. And after that, everybody said, "Where's my bonus?"
they still ask for the bonus.
They still ask for the bonus. Okay. Well, you know, I think that's tremendous because that shows that they understand what's happening and what's going on, and that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. It's having a quality of life and having joy.
That's right. That's right.
And they certainly do, and they certainly are part of our community. And, you know, nothing is more fun than to be out there on a Saturday morning with Miracle League and see what transpires at the Miracle League.
Oh, it's really great. We just encourage everybody to participate in that. It's such a rewarding thing for the parents. Children have never been able to go to the recreation department or the Y to get into these leagues of baseball, and there's just never been a spot anywhere for them. And the motto of the Miracle League is every child deserves to play. And everybody's got a buddy, so it gives the parent at least an hour or so that they can sit there and relax and enjoy watching their child just gleam and having a great day. A lot
just
of these,
like everybody else.
Just like everybody else. And then a lot of these parents don't get a lot of breaks.
They don't get much respite here.
They don't. So we've seen parents cry just, you know, for being excited for the kids and just being, you know, overwhelmed. The buddies, they'll get emotional when something happens good. And it's just such a great day.
It is. It's a great program. And, you know, I think everybody should go out there at least once and come out there on a Saturday morning. They sign up at 9:30. The baseball begins at 10. It goes to around 12. But while you're watching all the action on the field and watching the kids and everything, take a few minutes and look in the stands and see the parents.
That's correct. It's something special. And
it doesn't matter whether a child can walk or has to do it in a wheelchair or somebody has to bat for them and they push them around the field. It doesn't matter how it gets done, but the big thing is it gets done.
It gets done, and everybody wins.
Yes.
There's no losers. Everybody wins.
And the way the course of the diamond is made, it's made out of recycled tires, isn't it?
It was done research through a joint venture with Michelin Tire and Clemson University, and this was about 10 years ago, and they're used a lot now for parks and trails for handicapped, playgrounds for handicapped people, swing areas. For swings for handicap, and the fields are biggie also, but the fields are amazing. They're really amazing, and it's about a 3-inch thick rubber type surface. So if a wheelchair turns over and they fall, they're not going to get hurt, and if somebody trips, it's a soft landing for them. And they use a different kind of ball that we don't use, a real hard ball, so nobody will get hit with a ball that would hurt them. But it's just real rewarding, and there's music going on, and there's
the chicken dance.
I was gonna say they try to get as many people out there to do the chicken dance as they can, and that's always really good. The announcer, we have a guy that's been announcing for a couple of years, does it every, you know, everybody out there is a volunteer. There's nobody getting paid for anything, and the announcer he knows them by name, and he tells stories on them. They'll have their special song that they want when they come to bat, and they play the song for them. So it's really something. It's really a nice day.
It's awe-inspiring. And there's a lot going on. Not only that, when you first started, you had to have porta potties. Now you have your own facilities out there and lots of stands and everything. So on a Saturday morning, take the kids, take some Girl Scouts, take some Boy Scouts, take a group out there and just see what's happening. It really makes you reflect on your own life and what you're doing and what your kids are doing. And I hope the kids walk away going, gosh, if they can do it, wow, what could I do? Mm-hmm. That's right, because we've all been blessed with challenges and talents.
That's exactly right. And there are so many people that help and volunteer, churches, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, cheerleading groups, Lander, so men's Sunday school classes. So if you would like to volunteer and be a buddy, you know, just contact Andy Lyle at our facility,
Burton Center.
At Burton Center.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that'll be going on through the end of May, right? Every Saturday through the end of May. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. We're going to miss one Saturday, the Saturday that the LPGA, the 10th. That
right.
Saturday, we're not going to participate because we are going to kind of help with that group as for our parking. So we won't do that week, so we'll go 1 week into June. So the first week into June. It's hard. Once you get into vacation times, it's difficult to get a good group together, but it'll start back up in the fall in October. So we don't want to get them out there when it's too hot.
Sure.
And we don't do it during the dead of the summer.
Sure. Absolutely. Hey, I tell you what, we are here with Jimmy Burton. We're going to be talking about not only the good things out there, but the things that need to be fixed. And of course, on the state level, what's happening across our state for those in need. And I know I got a lot of listeners out there at Burton Center this afternoon. Chris Weidman, I think he told me he was going to listen this afternoon. Some other people were going to listen. So to all of you listening out here, thanks for listening right here on WCRS. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We're talking about Burton Center, and we're talking with Jimmy Burton, the executive director of the Burton Center Board. Now, Jimmy, kind of just to change gears a little bit, you got all these great programs, but and how many people actually are at, let's just say, during the day programs? Because I'm telling you what, there were a lot of people out there at the day program today.
We have almost 400, a little over 400 people in four different day programs. We have 170 in the Greenwood build, and we call that our main campus pretty much because that's where all of our admin is there. Ware Shows has about 60 people. Saluda has about 60, and Lexington has 92. Mm-hmm. I think it was the last number we had on that. So, you know, we're
that's a lot of people.
A lot of people. And we call them employees. They're employees. So, they're employees. They're doing jobs. And the work activity is going on at all four of those locations. And we feed every day. So, you know, we're doing meals every day.
I understand you got the best rolls out there. Do you still have the best rolls out there?
We've got a good cook.
That's what I heard. In fact, I understand you're having Easter lunch out there at Burton Center tomorrow.
Yeah. That'll be a big day tomorrow for them. They'll set up our commons area. They'll set up and they'll have a nice dinner tomorrow, and they'll be different kinds of cakes and all. They really enjoy that. So there'll be some activities tomorrow. We'll kind of take a half day tomorrow and do some good activities before they go out for the holiday, because we'll be shut down for Friday. So.
Oh, okay. But what are some of the issues that Burton Center or any facility that is dealing with those with special needs dealing with today?
There's always financials, the funding portion. You never have enough money to really do everything you want to do. We're actually operating on funding levels that were established in 2008. So we're running with the same money that we were running in 2008, actually about 4% less.
Now, one of the big issues I know for y'all is the busing, because you bus all over, and I remember talking to your dad about all the number of miles that these buses travel, and with the price of gas, I'm pretty sure the price of gas is more than what it was back in 2008.
Exactly, and we budgeted $3.10 for fuel, and right now it's $3.39, and we run 4,400 miles every day.
4,400 miles.
Every day. So it.
And buses are not traditionally good gas mileage getters.
we average about 10 miles to the gallon on the buses. So fuel is a very, very tough cookie to manage.
Sure, exactly.
it is a tough one. We get a few incentives. We get a couple of breaks. But if you take 3:10 and 3:39:29, you know, that's a little almost 8% over what we budgeted. And if you take a $300,000 budget and go over 8 or 10%,
it goes up real quick.
We got to find that money from somewhere else.
So what do you do?
Well, we do a lot of shuffling and moving around. We're very fortunate that we have a very strong foundation. This community supports our foundation, and the foundation's purpose is to help us serve people when the state and federal dollars aren't there to do it.
Right.
So somebody asked me one time, well, they asked me a lot, said, what is your budget? And I don't mind saying, you know, our budget's about $15.2 million a year. And they said, well, how much does it cost you to operate? And I said, well, about 15.3. So, you know, we have to supplement that by other things. And we have a truck and repair shop that we do our own truck repair, and we also do that for outside business. So that's a moneymaker. That's one of the ways we supplement it. Our foundation comes in and supplements. So we don't have enough money, and we've made reductions of about $500,000 a year from those 208 numbers. So with this new budget coming in this next year, we're hoping that we'll close that gap a little bit.
Sure. And we're going to, when we come back after the news, we're going to be talking about the budget and Governor Haley and how this all fits together so we can make this come out for a good good cause. Hey, but I've got other questions too, so I hope you'll stay right with us right here on WCRS. Got a question? Give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here this afternoon and listening from out there at the Burton Center. Joel Smart, what does Joel do out there?
Joel is our lead job coach. He works with the program. It's called Supported Employment. And we are have about 35 people that have a job in facilities around Greenwood. Wesley Commons, Lander University, Wall Bar, Greenwood Fabrication, several businesses.
Right. Sure.
And they have a job. They're making a good wage.
Sure.
They're getting benefits. They're getting vacation pay. That's a very good program, and Joel is the liaison between the employer and us to make sure that the people are trained, they're doing the things. If there's changes in their processes or changes that they do, Joel will come out and help train and make sure they understand how to do that. And he's also responsible for that transportation to get them to that job in Fort Worth. If you can't get to your job.
That's a big issue, isn't it?
It's a very big issue.
So how do you handle the transportation issue in a town that doesn't have public transportation?
Well, hopefully we're going to get a little relief in that over the next year or so, because there's a big effort being put on transportation and including people with disabilities and special needs into the workplace. We currently have about 35 people, like I said, that have a job. We charge them to take them to work. We have to, because it takes somebody that the budget that the that's not there's no funds to cover transportation right now, so we'll charge them $1.25 a day, $6.25 a week.
Sure.
And they would pay more than that if they were in a bus system.
Sure.
But this is a problem statewide. There are only bus, public transportation in the larger cities.
Sure.
And we. South Carolina's not about just large cities. We're more rural than we are cities. And,
well, I think that's one thing the federal government doesn't understand either about South Carolina
I think that's right.
Yeah.
But there is a big effort in the state right now through DDSN and through Human Health Services to identify some kind of source to fund transportation so that we can increase the population of employed people in the community to get them placed. And it's a great program. Joel does a really good job with us. Melissa works with him. They do a great job. And they're on the road all the time. They have to do paperwork. There's requirements that standards that they have to meet and paperwork that they have to do to get the funding done. So driving and transporting, it really takes away from some of the other things they need to do. But it's something we have to do because we don't have the public transportation.
So as far as this goes, one of the other things I think that probably as a base for all the people that work out at Burton Center, the administrative and people like Joel, Louise Robinson, they probably don't get paid what they're worth, do they?
You're not going to get rich working for the state.
Yeah, well, that's true. But particularly working at Burton Center, there's a lot of extra time that goes in, isn't there?
There is. You either love what you're doing with us or you can't do it. The people that are caregivers, they are by far the most underpaid people I ever met. Their jobs are a lot harder than my job. My job's easy compared to taking care of people that can't take care of themselves.
Sure.
It's a 24/7 situation. They go through so many things that, you know, I can't even tell you on the radio. But their day is a lot different than most people's day. And they either love these individuals or they can't do it. I mean,
sure.
there's no middle road.
There's no middle road
for direct care staff. And you talk about the respite. Those, you know, to come into a home that you don't know somebody, you don't know their environment, you're there to help, and you might not know the level of care that you're going into.
And the routine, and having a special routine is so important.
That's very important to the people we serve. That their routine, if their routines get broken up, then that can cause some behavioral problems.
Sure.
And
I've noticed that with Gracie,
yeah.
My dog.
Yeah.
Keep her on a routine. Everything's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's looking at me over there. Okay. But, you know, when you talk about that, and then you talk about respite care, and, you know, one of the big problems I know that is facing not only our senior citizens is aging and what it means for the state, and what does aging mean for our special needs clients?
Well, aging doesn't segregate.
Right.
So the aging population is universal. It doesn't matter whether you're black, you're white, you're green, you're red, you got a disability, you got good abilities. Aging is something that's happening, and it's right here in our face. And we're the state has become much more aware of it through the Lieutenant Governor's work that he's done on the Council for Aging. I was fortunate enough to hear him speak at the Senate Finance Committee a few weeks ago, and he did an excellent job of laying it out. But it was scary. It was scary, the numbers that he threw out. And
the gray tsunami,
Lieutenant
Governor McConnell.
And what are we going to do as a state? I mean, we've got to take care of people, and our population is aging very quickly.
And the other thing is the family members that are always there are even older.
we have people that are 70 and 80 years old taking care of somebody that's 50 and 60 years old. And that situation could become critical in an instant.
Sure.
So that's a big, you know, that's a big push over the next year, is to try to help this aging population of caregivers, trying to give them some kind of relief. Now, you know, a lot of times we have had people that, you know, a placement that we could bring someone in from an aging caregiver, but the family loves the child so much they don't want to do it, and they want their child to be at home. And so, but we try to help them as much as we can in the home,
sure,
environment, giving them respite, giving them some therapy at home, doing those sort of things. But it's one of our biggest challenges over the next 4 to 5 years. I'm a baby boomer. You're a baby boomer. You know, we're getting there. We're getting there close ourselves. So, you know, it's, and the life expectancy, people are retiring earlier.
They are. I'm going to be working till my death, Jimmy. I've seen that ribbon rolling out. I'll never have enough money. But, you know, I think the other thing is you, of course, and of course across the state and across the nation, they are doing group homes now that make a big difference. Correct?
Yes.
And that makes a big difference. But again, you need special people to be able to help and keep the home going.
24/7. We operate 27 homes.
Wow.
Some are 4 beds, some are 8 beds. And the 8 beds require some nursing staff. Some of the 8 beds might require 2 or 3 people shifts. So, you know, when I say 24/7, that's 7 days a week. These people's needs, they don't take a break on Friday afternoon after 5 o'clock. You know, their needs are still there on Saturday and Sunday. So, it's a nightmare to try to schedule people for second, third shifts and fourth and fifth shifts on the weekends. And, you know, it's your weekend to work, and you need to work 24 hours this weekend. And it's a challenge, but it's nonstop. I mean, it's
sure.
You know,
Yeah, I know. My brother lived in a group home, mm-hmm. and his group parents, as they were called, just couldn't have been more caring and more involved, and just had a total. Their whole philosophy on life is, whatever, we're moving forward, we're doing this, this got out of whack, this mm-hmm. happened, but we still moved on.
That's right.
That's and it makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. We try to make their home a real home. They have their own TVs in their room. They have their stereos. They're able to do things in their room and that, you know, outside from the group yep. area. So we're very in tune to making sure that they have rights and space
yep.
and their own place. You're happier if things are going good for you and you're able to do your things. And their feelings are the same way. They got to get away from folks sometime and have some space. So
yeah.
we think it's very important that they have that opportunity and that the home encourages that and develops things for them to do. Might be movie night. They rent a movie and everybody goes
to the movies. Or everybody go out and go to the movies.
They go to the movies.
Sure.
Or, you know, of course, Thursday's payday. So that if you look at Walmart on Thursday night, you're going to see several Burton Center buses sitting out in the parking lot because they won't spend that money.
Right away.
Yeah, this is my money. I want to go buy me a new DVD or a new something else or something for my girlfriend. You know, so they're having that's very good that they're able to do that.
Sure. Hey, we are here with Jimmy Burton. We are going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. Then we'll be right back. We're going to be talking about the Sensory Garden and about the Lander Equestrian Center out there. Boy, I tell you what a change that made to the Burton Center. Don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. We are talking about the Burton Center. We're here with Jimmy Burton, Executive Director of the Burton Center Board for Disabilities and Special Needs. And, you know, one of the things that you told me, what was it, back in 2012, I think Governor Haley came out to Burton Center, and I think she was pretty overwhelmed with what she saw out there, wasn't she, Jimmy?
She was. The thing that I think really impressed her was the community involvement that we had. We are blessed to have here in Greenwood. There's a lot of things going on our campus that is done without state funds or without federal funds, which this community has come in and done. The Miracle League, no state funds were there. Our sensory parks, our bathrooms, there's just sensory room we talked about a little earlier.
Right.
All those things happened because people care.
Well, how about the cafe out there?
That was Girl Scouts.
Girl Scouts built
and
that, yeah.
McDonald's donated the tables, and I think one of the business companies here in town gave them some seed money. They were on their hands and knees putting the hardwood floor in, and they painted the walls. And that's just, you know, that's what Lander comes out with, art groups and exercise groups. But having a community that's involved like this
it's really made a difference.
Really made a big difference. So,
and I think for that, I think Governor Haley in her budget, didn't she put some extra money that hopefully, we talked a little bit about that, will make the difference. It's already made it through the House budget.
She was special to people with disabilities and special needs in this budget. She was very generous. The monies that she's put in will go a very long way to relieving waiting list, to brick and mortar to bring in more people into the community to get them to take care of the aging caregivers and to bring those people into the community and set them in a community environment, and to try to help us get back on our feet from the long drought of not having any additional funds, we've had to put off a lot of things. There's, sure. We need roofs on some buildings. We need, paint's always good. And, we have to put a lot of those things off because we've been restricted with that. But she's, right now, it's gone through the House and it's in the Senate Finance, and we have done our, phone calls and doing our pitch and sales, and hopefully it looks very good. So it looks like this is going to be a good year for people with disabilities in the state.
And that's a good thing. Now, one of the other things that we wanted to talk about, we've mentioned the sensory garden out there. I had the privilege of walking around it with Teresa Medlin out there showing me all the different parts of it. Fabulous place right there, actually backs up to the Miracle Lead field. What can you tell us about that? How did the money come together for that one?
Boy, it was a pretty day to take a walk out there.
It was beautiful. Yeah,
we had a vision. When the Miracle League came in, we said, this is great, and did it. Lander just kind of upped it up when they came out. But we had a vision that the ballpark would become a park, some type of park. Mm-hmm. So some Presbyterian women in the Greenwood Presbyterian Church here, women, they approached us with a possibility of helping us do a project. So mm-hmm. we threw this project out there. They liked it. And we had a little tract of land, about 3.5 acres, right behind the park, level, didn't have to do any grading or anything with it. It had trees on it, so it was good in shade, had some good shade spots. So they wrote a grant. It was through their national organization, mm-hmm. and they got $25,000.
Well, that's not too shabby.
That wasn't shabby at all.
That's right.
Once that happened, the men's association of the church said, well, we'll put some money in it.
If to be undone by the women.
That's right. They'll put some money in it if we can find somewhere to match it. So our foundation then came and matched. So we wound up with $50,000 to start the park and get the park. That kind of paid, and there were a lot of people that donated.
Sure.
I got a list. It's there are.
It is phenomenal. And, one of the things about it, of course, it coordinates with the trail for the hippotherapy. In fact, I was out there and saw how they had built a ramp so they can get the clients on the horses out there at that. And then there's all different things that have been added as you go around the trail that makes it good for if you're riding a horse or if you're walking or if you're in a wheelchair. You can enjoy a lot of sensory, like the gardens, like the raised beds.
For the wheelchairs.
For the wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you've got some great art out there that Lander has donated and made in their, their metal arts or whatever right. about there. But it's pretty cool.
It's phenomenal. It was a dream. It was a dream or a vision that we had that Nancy Poston with the equestrian program, it was something that's how it's tied in with the hippotherapy, and it's so much better than riding out in the sun or just riding out in an arena.
Sure.
They can go through this area. It's quiet. There's birds. There's activity. There's things for them to touch and feel and smell, everything.
Sure.
And then the wheelchairs, it's about a we've measured it off at right at 1/4 mile, mm-hmm. one the paved trail and the gravel trail for the horses. And you talked about the ramp. That ramp was done free by the men from the Presbyterian Church, their handyman group. They came out. They did that. They bought the lumber. They built the flower beds. Once we got this thing started, there were so many people that came out of the woodwork and said, I want to be a part of it. And it was just phenomenal. The bathrooms were a little bit after the sensory park, but we've had motorcycle groups that really started that project. They started doing runs for us and raising money in poker runs. And that was the seed money that got that started. But then there were all kind of people that came up and said, well, I want to help too. And we solicited some of it, but a lot of it just came to us. Said, well, what we want to get involved in this.
Well, and it really has made such a difference. And then, of course, I know we've talked about the Lander Equestrian out there, the whole field. And since they put the shade on it, the pavilion, made it into a pavilion out there, it really looks phenomenal. It's hard to remember how it was just trees and you never saw Kemet, which is what it was before. You never saw Kemet except maybe in the fall or the winter you saw a little bit. But now that is such a great place to look over. I mean, you feel like you're in Kentucky or something.
Well, it is amazing. It amazes me almost every day. I just can't imagine. I can sit in my office and I can turn around to my desk and look. I can see horses running around and people riding horses and activities going on, when the only thing I saw several years ago were pine trees.
Okay.
So, you know, it was just, it opened up our building. We've got a nice looking building. It opened that up that, you know, where people can see it. But what Lander did has brought so much more attention to Burton Center and to Lander.
Sure.
As you come in from the lake, it's such a beautiful thing to see. And we're just, my mouth is dropped open every time I ride by it. I ride by and I say, this is something. And there's no place in the Southeast like that.
No.
Where two state agencies have worked together to make that happen.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that is such a great, great thing that has happened there. So, and now they have rodeos and bull riding and all kinds of events go on out there that just have added so much to the community.
Yes, it is. And we did a rodeo not long ago. Well, it was before Christmas. Around October, November, and I had to get on a little small pony to try to ride. That was part of the clown act, I would say.
I'm sorry I missed that, Jimmy.
Yeah, it's something. We've got it on video. So.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll have to check that out. Well, I do want to go over one more thing here, but I do have to say that you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, I'm here with Jimmy Burton. We are going to hold this over just 1 minute. Jimmy, I know I talked to Teresa today. She was telling me about all the things that the women out at Lee's Correctional Facility are doing for Burton Center. I understand they're getting ready to paint the fence. They've done a lot of work out there. What do you have to say?
That's another one of the partnerships that we talked about earlier. It's amazing. They've kind of adopted us. And we couldn't be more fortunate. Christmas time they did hats and scarves for every single consumer in all four of our work programs, and that was Christmas presents for them.
Somebody had to pay for the yarn.
That's right.
Yeah.
And some of these kids don't get Christmas unless we do something with them, and we always do have a big Christmas drive. But they took it on themselves to do that. They brought in smocks just a few weeks ago for everybody. Everybody had and they're colored and they're different patterns and things. But they have the fence painting is incredible. But we've been trying to get that done for a long time, and that's incredible they do that. But they've kind of adopted us as their family, and there's been none of them that have come out there that aren't moved after they've gone through for a visit. So
sure.
I think it's very meaningful for them also. I think they're getting they're doing an awful lot for us, but I think it's doing an awful lot for them also.
I guess that's another one of those win-wins.
It absolutely is. Absolutely.
Well, I wanted to mention that one because sometimes we don't realize all the different partnerships that are available. Now, I guess if somebody was listening here today and they wanted to get involved in some way or just come out and see the facility, I do know that you would love for people to see it.
We love to give tours. All you got to do is give us a call. Our number is 942-8902. That'll get you to Teresa Medlin. Teresa is my right-hand person.
Right.
And she will get you to the right person. Louise is a good contact.
Louise Robinson.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We have volunteers that read. We have volunteers that do exercise programs. We have volunteers that just come out and sit and, you know, be a friend. And music, there's people that come out and play music, and they love music and they love to dance.
Yeah.
And that happens almost weekly. Almost every week we have somebody out there helping volunteer. But there's a lot of things we got going on and a lot of help we always need. So.
Sure. And, we got to say one more thing here, the train. The train is the other part that was such an addition to Burton Center, and I know you pull it out for special occasions and everything.
We pull it out a lot. This, you know, on slow days, it's a good activity to get people outside in the sunshine. The train was donated to us. It's remarkable. We have a lot of people want to borrow it, but it's difficult, you know, from a transportation standpoint to get it off site. But we have with the lander clearing their area and having roads back there, we have a way that we can run all the way around the building, run in the parking lot. It'll even run through the sensory trail.
Yeah.
So it's just we've got a great facility for it. Miracle Leagues, it's always at every Miracle League game, and the kids just have a ball with it.
And it's really neat because it has the ability to have wheelchairs on it. It has seating. It has wheelchairs. It really is phenomenal. So, you know, if you have a few spare minutes, you really need to go out there and check out all the things out there at the Burton Center. You know, it's one of those places that you can go out there. You might not be in the best of mood, or you might be a little bit down. But when you leave, you're going to leave with a smile on your face, and you are going to go, wow, this is what's happening every day out there at the Burton Center.
Thanks so much, Ann. We appreciate your interest in us and your support for us also. But it is, you can walk through the workshop and they're going to hug you. They're going to say, hey buddy, how you doing? And they're going to interact with you, and you've got to be moved by that.
Absolutely. So for everybody out there listening this afternoon, make sure you get out there to the Burton Center. Check out what's going on. See the things that can and do happen every day. Hey, Jimmy Burton, thanks so much for coming out today.
And it's always a pleasure to see you.
All right. Thank you
so much.
That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.